Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to another mesmerizing episode of Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Is election integrity a problem in the state of Wyoming? Well, the answer to that really depends on who you ask. If you talk to the liberal, red-coated Republicans, well, no, we don't have any problem at all. The reason they say that is most of them get elected with far less than 50% of the vote. Indeed, there are elections all over the state of Wyoming that have that very problem. But that doesn't make the election itself invalid. It just means that there's going to be an elected official without a plurality of votes. Take our last governor's race, for example. Mark Gordon won the primary with 33.4% of the vote. Or the 2016 congressional race, in which Liz Cheney won the primary by 39% of the vote. In any other state, this wouldn't be that big of a deal. But where Wyoming is basically a one-party state, if you win the primary, you've pretty much won the general election. So, depending on how you count our United States House of Representatives race right now, you've got 8 candidates running. That's very similar to what happened in 2016. Keep in mind that none of them have officially filed any paperwork because that filing period doesn't open until next May. Regardless, we have 8 or so people running for our one congressional seat. As with many political problems in the great state of Wyoming, we have the red-coated frontier Republicans who are trying to circumvent our efforts to rectify this issue. Yes, my friends, we are most definitely going to travel to red-coated frontier Republican fantasy land today. But before we do that, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Joe Biden and you just don't know a darn thing, well, then you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. Make sure that you check out the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everybody you know about it. Obviously, I'll post all of the episodes there, but I'm also going to post a bunch of the articles that I might find during the course of a day that you might be interested in. So make sure you follow that. There are very few political matters that escape the watchful eye of Cowboy State Politics, and we've been following this election controversy for quite some time. But what piqued our interest this week is a meeting that was held of the Corporations Committee, or shall I say, the Hall of Hypocrites. During this meeting, Representative Chip Nyman from Crook and Weston counties testified as to the importance and the absolute need of some election reforms, specifically with our primary election system. The secondary problem with our primary election system is that there is crossover voting. Despite what these redcoats are telling you, that most definitely happens. You can look at the election results before and after, and you can see that members of different parties change their vote right before the election and right after the election. So it most definitely happens. Here's Representative Chip Nyman from the Corporations Committee hearing.
The struggle that we face and the struggle that has been relayed to me, the concern by the constituents, the voters that I represent, is that we are moving into a situation and have had implications in situations where we've had people put into positions that have gotten less than half of the popular vote. And to me, I don't like to be in that position if I can help it. And if there's ways of trying to work through that and trying to be thoughtful in how we get through those situations and give people the choices that they desire, this needs to happen. This needs to be looked at, and this needs to be researched thoroughly.
To further his cause on election reforms, a week or two prior, Representative Nyman sent out a pledge to all of his fellow legislators asking them to support election reforms. In his pledge, he asked his fellow legislators to sign off on legislation pledging their support for tackling the crossover voting problem and the primary runoff election issue. Before we get too far down this primary election rabbit hole, we need to flesh out exactly what the problems are. And to do that, I spoke with Representative Mark Jennings from Sheridan. The audio on this one kind of goes in and out a little bit, but you'll still be able to understand what the representative is saying. So, Representative Jennings, I have two questions. One, what are the problems in our current primary election system? And two, what's a good solution to fix those?
The problems that I see with the way that we do currently do primaries is the state is involved for the top two parties. And there are three or four items inside our current methodology for doing primaries that I think that I find problematic. There's crossover voting. It's clear that it's there. You can switch your party affiliation the day of. And the reason that came about, my understanding of why that came about is motor voter was offered back before my time in the legislature. And Wyoming chose not to go that route, thankfully, but they chose a second route called Real ID. And that has a lot of the same problematic things to it. You have to allow voting on the same day unless there's legislative change of what is currently in statute. So there's candidate crossover, there's voter crossover, there's been an issue with voter ID, which hopefully this last Representative Gray ran a bill that we passed. Hopefully that will change that part of the problem. And then there's an issue of, because of some of these others, there's an issue of what I call the runoff issue, so that you have, if the field is diluted, then you get someone with, like our governor last time got in with 34%, and the governor before him, one of his elections was 27 or 29%. So you're really getting people that don't have a plurality. There's not 50% plus one that even necessarily voted for this person. And so I view all four of those things as problematic. Hopefully the voter ID, we've solved that. I guess we'll have a better feel for that after this next election. But the runoff is probably, in my opinion, the most important. And you'll hear people talk about a jungle primary or an open primary.
Okay, hold on just a second. So sure. Just for our listeners, what is meant when they say a jungle primary or a ranked voting, or what are they talking about there?
In a jungle primary, it essentially is an open primary. And so Democrats, independents, libertarians, constitutionalists all would run in the same primary, and the top two people would move forward. And the ranked voting, there are a number of those out there. Maine put one through that weighted the number one choice, number two, number three. It was a very complex way of doing it. I've looked at it to some degree. It probably has some merit. They're still using it, although it did go to the Maine Supreme Court, and parts of it probably got struck down, if I recall correctly. And then there's ranked choice, where they rank everybody and they take like the bottom and knock the bottom person off, and then of the ballot. So make sure we're using the right terminology here. And so the problem that I have with rank voting is if it's married to the idea of open primaries. And there's problems with rank voting, in my opinion, also. So a person would want to look into those a little further and decide which one they supported. Because if you take rank voting and you marry that to open voting, Wyoming considers itself a conservative state. Conservatives, it'll be over for conservatives.
Yeah, if we do that, there won't be any more conservatives that get elected. Okay,
that's right. It's not the will of the people.
So what's the solution then, Mark?
Well, the last two sessions, I've run a bill to actually take the primary away from the state. And I think there's a couple of ways to do that. And then there's a couple more solutions that are available out there that are, I think they're good solutions also. The problem with taking it away from the state is that it currently is in statute that the state shall pay for the primary for the top two parties. I've looked at even just running a repealer and changing that shall to a may. You'll get some kickback because from the Republican Party, because it will cost us. We would have to pay for that primary, or we would have to pay for a runoff. And so, in my opinion, it's worth the cost. And so, the last two sessions, I've run a bill to pull that away because the Republican Party and the Democrat Party is basically protected by business law under trademark. And so, I don't believe that the state should be involved in private entity business.
Well, for sure, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, those are private corporations.
Yes.
And does the state control any other private corporations?
Well, we certainly regulate them. We have an affinity for regulating businesses. But to that level of telling people who they can or can't run or how they're going to run their business, I don't think so, David.
I don't think so either.
Like I said, you can get into regulation, and certainly there's a lot of heavy-handedness through all government. But so my concept was to pull it away from the state, and then the party could deal with each of those three or four other items without state interference, but they would have to pay for it. And but there are other ways of doing that. A runoff election, I think, would solve a huge amount of problems because then you're getting someone in that's got 50% plus one support. And if you do that, like I said, there are people who don't like any of the rank voting. The advantage to that, if you find a very good one and marry it to a closed primary, you save cost. Again, my opinion is that it's worth the cost. If we're to save the party and the trademark, we should have never turned that over to the state anyway.
Well, today we're talking about that meeting in the Corporations Committee. And I think the people you're talking about that don't like changes to the primary election, the way in which we run our primary election, the people that don't like it are the folks that got elected on 20, 30, 10, 15, yeah, a small percentage of votes. Those are the folks that don't want to do it because then they wouldn't get elected.
Yeah, they a number of them benefit from this methodology that we currently use. And that's why you see the rancor so much in the establishment Republicans, because I have told the Secretary of State, the only thing that's better than owning one party is owning two. People involved in picking our candidates, and we know they are, to what level, I don't know exactly where that's at, but we do know that there's issues out there. And so I think it's worth the cost to keep the primary closed, and if that costs Republicans more money, or if we can solve it, bringing out a runoff would certainly go a long ways towards helping.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. Back to the Hall of Hypocrites. Now, everything that Chip Nyman and Mark Jennings are talking about seems pretty reasonable, right? We probably should have a system where the person who wins an election gets 50% plus one vote. That seems reasonable. Also, people shouldn't be able to change their party affiliation the day before the election and then change it back. That's what he meant by crossover voting. And it would be as simple as that if we weren't dealing with a bunch of redcoats. George Washington would have had a target-rich environment with as many of them as were running around the Hall of Hypocrites. Corporations Committee. Now, I'll warn you ahead of time, we're about to enter red-coated frontier Republican fantasy land. Cue the spooky music. We begin the hypocrisy with the founder of the red-coated frontier Republicans herself, Gail Simmons. Now, Gail Simmons actually spoke after Representative Nyman, but it's important to start out our conversation with her simply because this is exactly what the members of the Hall of Hypocrites are talking about. And one more thing before we get to the Mad Hatter of the Frontier Republicans herself. Gail Simmons testifies on just about every single bill. It's not that she's an expert on elections or on anything else for that matter. She just likes to talk in front of all of these committee hearings.
And the first point that I would like to make is the question I think that you have is that what is the end goal? What is the purpose of addressing the primary or general elections? And I would say, I would hope that you would say that it is to ensure the greatest participation of all qualified citizens in our elections processes.
No, Gail, that's only part of it. Now, Gail, you being the proprietor of 307 Civics, or Civics 307, whichever it is, ought to know that we operate on a two-party system, and that the goal of a primary election is for each party to select which candidate they're going to run in the general election. It's not to include just as many voters as humanly possible in each of them. That is what your red-coated frontier Republicans want to do, because they can't seem to win a general election with 50% plus one vote. The only thing Representative Nyman is attempting to accomplish is to take that absolutely unquestionable integrity of the general election that all of these redcoats espouse and duplicate it in the primary election. So all of these people that claim that there was absolutely nothing wrong with the last general election should have absolutely no problem putting that same process to work in the primary election. We'll get back to red-coated frontier Republican fantasy land here in just a second. But first, an obscene profit timeout. Today's program is brought to you exclusively by Morton Building's Lessons in Classic Values. Lesson number 2, hard work. As gentlemen, we all know it's our responsibility to work hard for our loved ones. But do you know what would impede that? A near-death beating at the hands of our wives. And that could happen if you allow your wife to saddle a horse to go for a ride that's a little bit ill-tempered because you allowed it to sleep in a drafty barn. Oh, you'll be safe for a few days after she gets bucked off. But once she recovers, oh, then let the beatings commence. Now, you could prevent all of this by calling Nick or Jesse at Morton Buildings at 307-674-2532. These two gentlemen are experts at building the perfect barn for you to house all of your animals and, frankly, to save your own skin. So give them a call. They'll handle all the details, and you can continue working hard and keeping that beautiful wife of yours happy. This has been Lessons in Classic Values, brought to you by Morton Buildings. Cowboy State Politics is still looking for businesses and organizations to partner with us. If your group's values line up with those of Cowboy State Politics, well, then you need to shoot me an email. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. Also, don't forget about our Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everyone you know about it. And now, back to the program. Now, the first redcoat to line up from the Corporations Committee in opposition to Representative Nyman's very logical approach to elections is Ogden Driscoll. Senator Ogden Driscoll. You know, he kind of reminds me of Wilford Brimley, except not quite as smart.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the 5 hours. Means we did it last Thursday together. It's
I don't mean to interrupt, but you slept for most of it down and back. So.
Absolutely. Very much appreciate your comments, and I think they very much reflect the local thoughts of our people and statewide. I appreciate it. With that being said, are you willing to rescind your pledge that you tried to get us all to sign off on? Because I, for one, didn't sign it, knowing we've been working with the clerks, and I think it really puts some undue pressure there, and I would like to see you clarify where you're at on that. I look forward to working with you to get an outcome, but I would like to see you address the pledge.
You bet he does respond, and I'm going to play that for you here in just a second. But first, you and me are going to talk a little bit, Ogden. The reason why pledges are necessary is because you Redcoats get elected by telling your constituents one thing and then going to Cheyenne and voting exactly the opposite of what you told them. They don't believe you anymore. Your word means nothing to them. That's why they have to have your signature on a piece of paper saying that you're going to do what they want you to do, which, by the way, in case you've forgotten, that's your job. And secondly, you admit in the last audio clip we played that that is exactly what your constituents want you to do, is to tackle this election integrity business. And yet you are unwilling to put your name on a piece of paper saying that you will follow their wishes. And gee, I wonder why they want a pledge, Ogden Driscoll. Here's what Representative Nyman had to say to Senator Driscoll.
What do your constituents say? What are their desires? And so that's what I wanted to do in that pledge. Would you pledge, if we did get legislation formulated, would you pledge to support it? Because that's what your constituents would want. If they didn't, there was no, you could or couldn't sign it. Nobody cared if you did or didn't. It was entirely your decision and the decision of your constituents.
Now, if you didn't know, Ogden Driscoll's constituents are the exact same as Representative Chip Nyman's. They're both from the Hewlett area. Ogden Driscoll just doesn't like being held accountable by his constituents, and that's the whole reason why he's opposed to this pledge. Next up in our parade march of redcoats is Senator Nancy Case himself. Oh, you remember him, don't you? Yeah, he's the guy that said we have to pass Medicaid expansion before we can figure out all the details. Yeah, he's Wyoming's version of Nancy Pelosi.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
And in case you've forgotten what Senator Cale Case said about Medicaid expansion, here it is again.
This is a good deal for Wyoming. It could be a good deal. We can't even start to figure it out until we pass this bill.
Oh, the memories. Well, anyway, here's where the Corporations Committee hearing really went off the rails, and we find out exactly how much Nancy Case likes having pressure put on him from his constituents.
I do have concerns about the pledge. It did come off as a litmus test. And it does matter whether you sign it or not. My central committee, my local Republican chairwoman, came down hard on the legislators about whether we would sign it or not. We had a discussion about it. I hope that you appreciate that it's always a more difficult question, and that the discussion here is more difficult and nuanced than any pledge. And if you do sign a pledge, you're trapped. And you can see from the nuances of this discussion that it's never as clear. So I think you made it like a freshman error to call everybody out on this and cause dissension when there's not enough information on the table. And for one, I'd like you to reach back out to the political party apparatus and say, you know, this is just a little bit more complicated than I thought it was. And there are constitutional issues. And, you know, to backtrack and clear that up, because right now, unless my Republican friends in Fremont County from the Central Committee are watching this debate and understand the nuances of what we've gone through, they will still feel that I didn't sign a pledge that is impossible to implement in Wyoming constitutionally. And they will not understand that.
Do you know why they won't understand that, Nancy Case? It's because you're lying to them. There isn't a constitutional problem with what Representative Nyman is asking you to do. In fact, I have in my hot little hands a memo that was delivered to the Corporations Committee from the Secretary of State's office. They sent it to me today. To Wilford Brimley. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. Chairman Ogden Driscoll, Chairman Dan Zwanitzer, members of the Joint Corporations Elections and Political Subdivisions Committee, May 25th, 2021. And if you go down a couple paragraphs, it says, and I quote, "Since budget session bills are not enacted until the beginning of March during a redistricting year, hosting a primary election in May under the current time frame would not be feasible." In order for Wyoming to incorporate a runoff election into our current election process, a constitutional amendment must be passed. So really, the only constitutional question is incorporating a runoff election into this budget session. Here's the section of the Wyoming Constitution that Nancy Case is so worried about. It's in Article 3, Section 48, quote, At the first budget session of the legislature following the federal census, the legislature shall reapportion its membership based upon that census. Notwithstanding any other provision of this article, any bill to apportion the legislature may be introduced in a budget session in the same manner as in a general session. So basically what that's saying is that in a redistricting year, such as this one, we can't be changing the election cycle because of that redistricting. Any other session, there's no problem with it, Nancy Case. I'll post the memo at cowboystatepolitics.com so that everybody can see that Kale Case isn't telling you the truth. And just so you know, I spoke with the Secretary of State's office twice today just to make sure this was entirely clear. Maybe Senator Nancy Case should do the same thing so that the Secretary of State's office can straighten him out too. As if flawed, illogical, and completely incorrect arguments weren't enough, this committee hearing, Hall of Hypocrites, had to stoop to the level of appealing to emotion. Enter Redcoat Representative Shelley Duncan.
Representative Nyman, I was one of those that was, it was difficult. I did sign it. But it was heated. And it was duress that I had to sign it.
Okay, hold on just a second. Here she is complaining about one of her constituents who was frustrated with her and wanted her to sign a pledge so that she had her name on a piece of paper saying that she would do what she told her constituent she would do. And apparently her constituent is used to Shelley Duncan not doing what her constituents want. Well, anyway, let's continue.
And I didn't sign it at first, because I was having to pledge to some particular bills. I didn't know what the bills were. It was referenced to legislation in 2021 session. And I've been on this committee for this is my third session, my third term. We have seen three or four iterations of a crossover bill. So I wasn't wanting to sign a pledge because I've seen three or four different versions of that particular bill.
Let me get this straight. So the bill that the pledge was referencing was from the 2021 session. That would be the one you just finished, Representative. And you claim that you never read the bill. So that means that you voted on a bill that you never read during the legislative session. Do I have that right? But beyond that, she says the reason she didn't want to sign the pledge, and to her credit, she eventually did. But the reason why she didn't want to sign it is she's seen multiple versions of it already. What, are you bored with it? The whole point here is that Wyoming citizens want election reform, and you guys just don't get it. Or you don't want to give us election reform because you know you won't get reelected. My guess is that's probably the case. One more red coat to line up. This is Senator Tara Nethercott. Now, she has a very interesting view of who her constituents are. Now, she's responding to Representative Nyman's claim that he actually needs to represent the views of the people that put him in office. Weird, I know. Reflect the views of the people that voted for you.
Thank you. Just a quick comment. Just because I've heard some comments that I want to make sure are clarified. All of us legislators represent all of the people of Wyoming, all of them, not just those that elected us, but all of them. So we must remember that when we're here and we're in these seats, because we represent all of the people of Wyoming.
Senator Nethercott, I didn't know you were friends with Bill Novotny. Voting what's best for his constituents. You know, you two guys ought to really hang out more often. You think alike. The truth is, you need to represent the views of the people that voted for you. What Senator Nethercott is claiming is that she doesn't have to vote the way that her constituents want her to vote. She can vote any way that she wants and always claim that, well, you know, the rest of the state of Wyoming doesn't agree with you in my district, so I have to vote the other way. Ridiculous. Here's one of Chip Nyman's responses.
Question, Mr. Co-Chair. The people that crowd me into a group are the people that vote for me. Those are my constituents. Those are the folks that I have to listen to. It's their job to crowd me into a corner. I mean, my political career is not long enough to fully understand everything y'all have gone through and what goes through. I don't. But here's what I do know. I work for them, and all of us work for the folks that elect us, and we go down here and we do their bidding. I believe, that's my opinion. That's how I see my job. Those folks cramming me into a corner are the folks I need to try to figure out what they're saying and respect and respond to them.
Pretty admirable guy, isn't he? I bet most people in Wyoming wish that their representative acted and spoke exactly like Representative Chip Nyman. But he's exactly correct. That it's your representative's job to listen to your concerns and to act accordingly. And if, like he said, what you're asking is impossible, well, then he needs to explain, he or she needs to explain, why it's impossible to do what you're asking him to do. And any normal person, if that's explained to them, will say, okay, well, I understand now. Thank you for trying and explaining it to me. That's how our system is supposed to work. We elect people that represent our values. We don't elect people to act on their own accord. The Hall of Hypocrisy, the Corporations Committee, represents the worst example of representation in the Wyoming State Legislature. It's a group of people that are happy with the way the establishment is, and they don't want it to change. That's what that Corporations Committee hearing was all about. Telling Representative Nyman that they're not going to change and they're not going to follow his pledge because they don't want to. The message was, shame on you for asking us to change. In any case, here is how Representative Nyman closed out his testimony during that committee hearing.
And if I may have just a moment of your time.
Sure.
As a freshman, give me this and then we can go out and I can be tied to a whipping post here in a minute. The point we're looking at here, and it's a major concern, and when we talk even about party affiliation and the changes, and they say that's not an issue either. When you're talking about differences in elections down in the single digits, that is a point that needs to be addressed. And those issues are real. And if we don't, as I can see, and I've, like I said, I've not been at this long, but I can see this is a process that takes real time. You don't just do this. So I think there is concern. I think there is cause for a reason to look at this thoughtfully and to say there is a potential problem. And will we have the representation that the people of Wyoming truly want? And let's be honest. If you've got an R behind your name and you get 11% of the vote and you go into the general, you're going to win, very likely. And is that the folks that they really wanted to have to go? And that's what the discussion that we're having. And that's the concern.
Now, I only played a few of Representative Nyman's responses, but you really should go listen to the whole committee hearing because he does a good job of beating back all of these redcoats. I'll warn you, though, if you're going to watch the whole committee hearing, you probably shouldn't have anything that you can throw near you, because it will happen. And when you're done listening to the whole thing, you should really call your elected representative and demand that they have a town hall near you. I have a sneaking suspicion that they're probably not going to want to listen to you, just like all these redcoats that we heard on today's episode. But we have to make them listen to us. And when they don't, we need to replace them with people who will. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.